out there, I was out at Bob's there. I mean, there ain't no country.
Monday, November 29, 2021, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 3:00 p.m.
Is our,
you know what, Scott? I remember that. I think the guy was going to build a shed and put that stuff in it.
It's probably been a month ago since he called me. It's probably been 3 weeks ago.
Because he did come up with a building permit. He was just going to put this stuff inside.
H Avenue, right?
I'll double check on that one.
Right by I.
Well, it's like we lived on Ironton Avenue, and it was essentially I.
Okay.
I mean, kind of lined up with. I don't know if they put names on them if they're.
They do. The I's are between I and H, or all I's in between H. And
like Kennesaw is between K and and Jewel Avenue is There's. I noticed that. Like, it took me about 5 years to figure that out. But it's 3:00. I'll call the meeting to order, and we'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we'll have our roll call, please.
Janet Gill.
Here.
Scott Love.
Yes.
Robert Deasy.
Here.
Larry Albanicious.
Here.
Troy Lonsby.
Here.
All right. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Our first item on the agenda is public comment. At this point, the Board of Commissioners will hear comments about any item that is not on the agenda, and the chair has a discretion to limit the time of comment. Do we have anybody to come forward with a public comment? Hi, Don.
Hi. Of course, all of you know me. I'm Don Jose. I have a concern about our insurance program that we have as employees of Dakota County. I have a couple people in my office that have medical conditions, and the amount that is allowed to pay under the prescription plan is capped out at $10,000. I don't know who is on the committee for reviewing the insurance prescriptions, the whole package. But in seeing what I've seen in my office, I think it's something that the board should take a second look at when they go to renew their prescriptions and things like that. With the $10,000 maximum on there, one of the people is on three different medications for a medical condition. Because they are over the $10,000, the doctor has chose to try to take them off one of the medications, which could cause a lot of problems. In doing that, I think we put people's lives in jeopardy by not allowing, I mean, even if it was $5,000 more, it would help them get through that window that there is to come, you know. I don't know how many of the board members use the insurance or are actively. I am one. I was surprised also. My husband had a colonoscopy. I called for benefits. Yep, routine. 100% routine. Got in there. They removed a polyp. Not routine. So going into it, people need to be aware, and whoever's on the board to review the medical insurance and things need to be aware that even though it's classified routine, it's misleading in the handbook, that if for some reason you're in there and they do remove a polyp or whatever, I just went through the same thing. And now we're going to have another $1,600 that we're going to have to pay because it wasn't routine. If you even have a history, you know, of a situation, say you had something that happened 10 years ago, they removed a polyp. Well, it's in your history, so it's not classified routine. I just think that whoever, like I said, is in charge of reviewing the medical plan. I know when Rick was on the board before, and I understand being cost effective, but sometimes I think a lot of people's lives are taken into jeopardy because of those situations.
You cannot shut it.
So
the main issue you're hearing is the $10,000 limit.
Cap on prescriptions.
So this norm, or whatever you call it,
$5 prescription is what
okay.
it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the normal versus not abnormal on the colonoscopy, I didn't realize there was a difference on that. We do have a committee.
One of them is routine, and she did not have to meet the deductible. It became not routine when she had
found something
removed.
Okay.
So then she had to meet the deductible.
Okay.
Which is $1,500.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we have a committee, I think, that's going to kind of look at that. We're supposed to get some information January. So we have to renew in March. Is our renewal date, so we can look at some of those things. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. But, you know, and I do understand there are some people that have high dollars.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason the cap.
Mm-hmm.
But I just really think that the county is putting people's lives in danger for conditions that, you know, that even if it was $5,000 more, they could stay on their medications till the new year starts, and then they get the new allotment.
The new start. Mm-hmm. New price start.
Okay. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank
appreciate
you.
Your insight, Dawn. All right. Any other public comment today? Okay. We will move down to the consent agenda at this point. Let's see. We have just two items on the consent agenda today. One is the approval of the previous meeting minutes, which was November 15th. The other one is approval of the payroll claims for the period just ended on Friday. I did review the payroll. Everything appeared to be in order. We had a holiday in there, so it was a little tricky in some of them, but everything appeared to be in order. So any questions on?
No, I don't have any. So moved on the consent agenda items.
Okay, Scott moved.
I'll second.
Bob seconded. Any other questions or discussion on those two items? All right, we'll do roll on that.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. New business today. Item A, Amanda Harper, or Dawn is here today. Amanda's not here today, is she?
No.
Dawn Kimmel from Simcoe is here to give us some information on the Dakota County housing study. We had a meeting with Economic Development last week that Dawn was at and gave us a little insight, but she's here to update the group today.
Yep, so if you remember, the county provided a letter of support to apply for NYFA funds to conduct a housing study. That was awarded, and we are in progress of conducting the study. Part of that will be the distribution of a survey, and the target respondents are homeowners, renters within the county, non-resident employees, like Tyson, for example, or other employers, the employers themselves, property owners that have rental units, and also any real estate professionals that operate within the county. The idea is to gather as much information as we can to get an accurate summary of condition of available housing and if there are remaining shortages and what might be some of the barriers to people finding appropriate housing within the county. So this is just an update to provide information on that survey. For each of those categories, those six categories, the respondents will on the first question make a choice of the category, then they'll go to a page of questions specific to that grouping, and then there's another page that will be common with all of the surveys with open-ended questions. We will need assistance in distributing that survey link. It's available online. We can do print surveys by request, and any online venues you have, any market boards or promotional boards throughout town or in your different municipalities, that would be appreciated. We are visiting with each municipality. We've already been to Homer, and the remaining five are already scheduled, with the last one being December 13th. So does anyone have any questions about the study or the survey?
How much is the grant for?
That's a question I don't have the immediate answer to.
Did we do...
Sorry, I know whatever funds that may not cover the study will fall into the housing program.
When was the last time we did one of these? Or have we? For you guys?
We haven't done one for the whole county in at least 10 years. It may have been more, but
how many
I haven't
years?
Been that long. At least 10 for the whole county. They did the strategic planning document for the economic development group that developed the REDS committee. That was completed in 2018, and there was a housing component in it. But one of the goals was to further develop a known or a process to address any housing needs. So to know what the needs are, this is the preliminary step on that. And then the Red Committee is acting as the steering committee for this.
I remember meeting at the Northeast Community College several years ago. Might have been 8-10 years ago, maybe. But I think the study the Simcoe did was maybe on businesses at the time. I don't think it was the housing.
I'm not familiar with that, but I can look it up. And
it doesn't matter. I was just kind of wondering how much the grant was. And,
yeah.
And Bob's question was a good one. When was the last time it was done? I like that. Yeah, thanks, Bob.
I can look real quick on that grant. I copied the grant. You brought it with me. But any other questions while I look at that real quick?
So how long will it take to get the results and maybe come up with some
10 years probably
strategies?
The grant was $10,594 with a match provided by Simcoe. Sorry, it wasn't my first page. Hopefully we'll have the survey closed by mid-January, and then from the surveys we'll also develop focus groups. And as the survey is distributed, there'll also be a summary about the survey and an invitation for respondents to let us know if they're interested in being part of a focus group. So we do want that in-person element as part of it, too. We'll also be doing windshield assessments where we just drive through and make notes on neighborhood things within each municipality. Other questions?
So there's no cost to us on this. It's just your...
Just the distribution assistance. So even if you needed the print surveys for a known entity that wants it, we would also provide that.
Okay.
Other questions?
With the goal of determining what kind of housing we need, income levels of people that are seeking housing. Okay.
So it would be based on income, percentage of that income going to their current mortgage or rent and utilities, household size and appropriateness of their living space for the size of a family that may be in there, condition, quality, and there are a series of questions on what kind of barriers are preventing you from either owning if you're renting, or if you prefer to rent a different type of property, what is it you're looking for, and how come you haven't already made that move? So I do have one copy of the survey in its entirety. So it's several pages when you look at all six categories, but when you click on the link, you'll only see the questions relevant to that category. So I can leave this here for review.
Thank you.
Care. Anything else?
So your group is actually going to coordinate the distribution and collection, or
we are asking for assistance from the county and each municipality to to include their venues of communication.
Okay, to forward it.
Yep.
Okay. We'll put it on our website.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not sure where else.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out. What
do you need? For the county, it would probably just be the website. Some of the communities that still do a paper billing for utilities, we're asking for that to be included in, in at least
we
one
do
billing.
Our tax statements in December. I'm not sure if you still have it open then. December 31st.
I'm sure
all
we could.
The homeowners would get.
That would be ideal.
That would be,
I think that would be worth extending anything because we haven't fully determined when we'll close it yet. And we're still working on the Spanish translation, so that'll be included in the mass distribution as well. So,
but that would be a good goal because I think that's probably the ticket is to get it into places where the people are.
Yeah. Well, I'll put that in our plan.
Rather than mailing a separate mailing, just do it.
So when do you need that?
Bob,
content.
Don, when do they go out?
They're expected maybe tomorrow to be in our office, and we'll get them dumped and sent out next week or so.
So we can get the information to you tomorrow.
Yeah, just a simple survey link or something.
A link.
The link will probably do most, and a short summary if needed. Yeah, we can do that by first thing in the morning.
So we're going to need about. Anybody
want that?
11,000 copies.
We might do like, would you be able to put a postcard in?
No.
Is there a cover letter or anything in there?
One is that it's already done. Three of them in a, like an 8x10 or whatever, 11 by whatever sheet.
Okay, I'll let you know first thing in the morning.
Yeah, well, even if it's just a little slip,
like
with just
business card size or something.
Okay. Yeah.
Give me something to do this afternoon yet.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No. It'll be interesting to see the data, though. I think there's a relief for housing.
Yeah, there are a lot of assumptions, but there's nothing really to back all of it up. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Really anxious to hear the results on that. Item B, Resolution 21C-046 is related to abandonment of the... All right. Abandon and revert to the landowner one half to each landowner the property described as platted as an alley in block 3 Crystal Beach between lots 1 and 9 on the north and lots 10 and 18 on the south, excepting the portion of Eagle Drive, Dakota City, Nebraska, section 6, township 28N, range E. I think we had a public hearing on this. I believe it was the last meeting. Nobody was really here. Pat was the one who kind of coordinated and talked to the neighborhood. So there was no opposition or concerns.
So I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 21C-046 on the abandonment.
Okay, Scott made a motion to abandon the alley, seconded by Larry. Any other questions or comments? And I know Jolene probably was involved in that as well, so you haven't heard anything either, I assume. Okay. All right. So we'll go ahead and do roll on that. Or any other questions?
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay. All the alleys should be owned by landowners out there, I think, pretty soon. More to mow. Miscellaneous and old business. Item A, Jolene has a highway superintendent report for us, which is the handout. Yeah. Okay,
the guys had 269.5 hours of maintaining, 14 hours with tree removal, 23 hours on Gateway Drive, cleaning out a ditch line along there to get the water to drain, 90.5 hours on North Bluff Road on the doing the shoulder work. They 4 hours picking up garbage, 2 hours hauling gravel, hauled 11.93 tons of 3/4 clean. They spent 76 hours doing sign repair And we had requests for gravel on the Frank O'Neill Road.
Where's Frank O'Neill Road?
It's a little stub road off Highway 12.
Oh, okay. Never heard of that one.
I don't think it's marked.
It's not. Mm. It's just something we've always taken care of and probably wouldn't hurt to put a... We thought about putting a street sign up, but they go off, their addresses are based off Highway 12, and then we put up a sign, and I think it would just confuse a lot of people.
Okay. Any other questions for Jolene?
Jolene, that culvert that was damaged and taken to the... I'm assuming you're taking to the Iron Beetle, Southeast?
Yeah, so I put a call in last week to get some, get the tickets and the pictures and the check on that, and they were going to look into it and get it out to us. So we.
You don't know how much the salvage price was?
No, I can call on that. The individual was sick, so I'm not sure. I think he got behind a little bit. At his business. I'm not sure if he's back up and running again or, you know, he's in the hospital for a little while with the COVID stuff. So we've been kind of trying not to push too hard on that, but I'll give him another call tomorrow.
Okay,
any other questions? Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Jolene. All right, I think we have Greg here to talk about the master, what is it called? The backup powers for the battery backup power UPS power system for the dispatch?
Yes. Okay. So the building was built in 1993. This is a piece of original to the building. It's the UPS battery backup system, which powers the communication center, 911 room, the radio room where all the radios are at, and all the room with all the servers and computers are at. Through the years, we've done maintenance on this unit, replaced batteries, replaced components, lightning strikes. Once again, we're starting to have some problems with this. What is currently occurring with the system is, for no reason, without any warning, all of a sudden the power goes out. So we lose power in the communications room, means all phones go dead, all radios go dead, all servers go down, and have to be rebooted and turned back on. We have traces back to the UPS system, which I remind you, is since 93, it's been there, and it is in dire need of being replaced. We went ahead and contacted a couple vendors in the area, another vendor that is used by Woodbury County 911 Center, and we also use with Starcom ratings, and we got that. So we have multiple quotes for different ones. One I presented up to the board for approval and the city council for approval for you to look at today and approve will cost, with shipping, $22,794 for the replacement of that unit. This will hopefully push us out into the future. I don't know if it's going to last like the current one does, did for many, many years, but I'm planning, hopefully this thing will last many years down the road, 10 plus years at least. It's an investment into this facility to maintain it and keep it operational and ready for a call. Any questions?
Could we put in the new 911 center or new 911 software, was that about a year ago?
No, in June of this year, we updated the 911 software and servers to the new current system. So that was all installed in June of this year.
That didn't have anything to do with this?
This supports that.
Okay. Is it, and the cost will be shared with Southside?
The cost will be part, will come from the fund that the city and county pay into, a special project fund.
Okay.
So the funds are already there in this current, but in this pocket of money. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How much money in that fund?
$400,000.
You got a party on that.
So this is for the installation as well?
It's just for the equipment itself and shipping.
Okay.
Installation will be handled by a local vendor, which will then come from the budget of the LEC.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to make a motion. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have any questions or not.
Yeah.
Pretty cut dry.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion for the master patrolman to shave Wednesday. And then also for the for the backup system.
Scott made a motion.
Seconded.
Larry seconded. Any other questions for Greg regarding, and what's the timeline for all this to get done?
Unfortunately, with any kind of equipment, we're looking at a possibly up to 8-week ship time
before
we see it on site. So we're As soon as we get it ordered, the time starts.
Yeah.
Not surprised, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's important.
I'm sure you're anxious to get it up and running, so you don't have any issues.
We are, yes.
Okay. Any other questions for Greg or thoughts?
What kind of things do we, out of that fund, do we pay for or do we share to pay for?
Is any equipment set aside?
Any equipment?
And the labor to put it in.
Bullets and guns and things like that?
No.
Any equipment specifically for the law enforcement center, so the facility itself. So each HVAC system's replacing any large projects, any project that cannot be currently funded out of the current budget comes from this fund here. So in 5 years, 7 years, we need to replace the 911 system, the funds would come from this. Okay. Or a major server need to replace, it would come from this fund. It does not go for anything else other than updating day-to-day operational stuff, specifically things for the long-term.
Air conditioning units,
right,
et cetera, mm-hmm. Building expenses.
Maintenance, repair, systems like
concrete work.
You're on that committee, right, Scott?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And Troy.
Okay, both you too. Okay. All right.
Great, thank you.
Take roll on that.
Larry?
Thank you.
I'm going to call in roll on that motion. Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you get the stuff. Thank you. The next item is item C, board to approve which opioid settlement agreement option to approve. I think there might be information in your packet on this one. I think this all started a long time ago. Didn't you do some testimony this summer on this, Joan?
Not on this.
No, not this one? Okay. Well, anyway, it appears that the state, if there's enough people that will sign into this, all the states will get a kickback on based on how much opioid maybe usage or issues occurred in their state. And we have three options. The state, John Cannon is from NACO and is encouraging the state counties to review this and participate if they're willing to. Three options. You can sign in and be eligible to receive the settlement directly, which you would have to use for opioid related concerns, whether education, treatment, etc. Sign in and give your settlement agreement to your regional behavioral health, which ours is region 4. I did talk to Ingrid this morning, who's our executive director of region 4. They don't have a exact plan yet, but they believe they're going to focus on drug addiction management, education, suicide prevention, various prevention programs, and that sort of thing, Narcan, those types of things. And then the third option would be elect not to sign on to the settlement agreement and don't participate in getting the settlement from, I think there was two entities. One was Janssen and Janssen, and the other one was just a mixture of distributors. Did you happen to read through these documents, Kim? There was like 600 pages of them.
Yeah, I brought my computer. I wasn't printing that.
Yeah, it's. I read through the first 50 pages, but I didn't read all 600.
Yeah, I did get through 600.
I did reach out to Tim Decker, and he stated that there would be some use at the law with the jailers and the inmates and law enforcement officers for opioid training if we kept the money ourselves. That if you. The distribution schedule is really small, but the Janssen and Janssen is, you get $790 and next year $1,600 and the next year $1,500, then $2,000, and then it goes back down to, that's over a 10-year period, and then the opioid is over an 18-month period, and that's from $2,000 to $3,000 a year. So they would get approximately $2,500 to $3,500 a year. And that they could, Tim thought they could more than appropriately use that for training. They're required to take more hours. They've upped their hours to 30 hours required now.
So could apply to some coroner calls also.
Coroner calls also, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a long list mm-hmm. of things that
Qualified?
That qualify.
And so each year you just have to say how you spent your $2,500 bucks or $3,500?
Or even training on, and a lot of inmate, Tim was looking at a program that would help inmates when they're released, how to stay off the drugs.
Oh, yeah, transitioning.
Transitioning, training.
Yep.
So
option one is what we're looking at.
We keep it.
Yep.
Option two, we give it to Region.
And maybe you can set, I don't even know, because I asked Ingrid that as well, is there a way you can maybe get part to them? But she didn't know either. I think we just...
You know, and we do give them a dollar amount every year.
Mm-hmm, we do.
You know, if you wanted, I'm sure they would take your money if you, if we didn't spend it on something or didn't spend it on training, you know. But Tim thought that they also, there was a big pot at the state level that they could dip into.
So if our project ended up being more than $2,500, we could ask for more, possibly?
Or, Region 4 has more options, I think. Yeah, something like $900,000.
And we don't have to exercise till December 31st, but I think this the more they get people to participate now, I think they'll know, they'll have more of a better chance of getting a larger allocation for our state. I think that was part of what John was getting at.
I'll make a motion. We go with option one.
Okay. Bob made a motion. Option one, where we take a direct share of the settlement procedures for the county.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Bob, Scott, item number one, direct share. Any other questions or thoughts or arguments for other rationale for other steps? And we are going to a meeting next week in Kearney. We might find a little bit more out about the details of how we process it. But I do think signing on to the settlement agreement is a good idea. We could help. Okay. Should we take a roll on that?
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right. So direct share to the county, and we'll figure out the specifics of exactly how you submit your ideas and paperwork, etc. All right. Item number D, approved chair to sign the budget audit board representation letter and federal audit letter addressing corrective action plan regarding the segregation of duties. And I think in your packet... Let's see. There's a letter from Charlie Jansen. I think Joan and I and Bob all sat down with the auditor. Was that about a month ago? Seems like. Yeah, I think it was about a month ago. And we talked about many of these items that were noted, and probably some typical things related that we were aware of. But the major one that probably is the one they're asking us to talk about is the corrective.
That's the special federal audit that was done.
Okay, that was the special.
Because we received over $750,000 in federal funds this year.
So this
because
is
of that coronavirus dollars.
Oh, that's item B, the federal light. Okay, letter number one, sign number one, is the various things, representations made by the auditors, and there were some disclosures about things that some reconciling and some money that needed to move into the general account, and I think those are currently being worked on, I believe. Any comments from you, Joan? Or
I think they're pretty straightforward. Just some things that with the state doing the audit, they are a lot more particular than we were we were used to several years ago, but it's a good thing. It's good. So it's an ongoing.
I know the treasurer's office has some new plans for separation of duties, clerk's office, and I talked to the sheriff's department. I actually talked to what's her name,
Michelle.
And they have some unclaimed things that they're turning into the state, some of those types of things that they're getting
cleaned up.
It's gone to a new computerized system, so it's a little more cumbersome to submit all these items to the state. But I think we're making progress on the items that were brought to our attention, which is good. And that's why we bring them in, so they can help us figure out what we can do to make things a little easier for everyone. So that's a state letter. And then so I need to certify that we did review all of this data, have plans in place to corrective action. And then the second sheet, item number 2, relates to a federal audit. And this is a common concern that happens in smaller counties when you don't have lots and lots of people in your department so that everybody can, you know, this person signs this and the next person signs it. We are a smaller county, so we don't have as many checks and balances in place. But I do know there's already been some steps taken to figure out how to rotate duties to different people in departments. I know the clerk's department, the treasurer's department, and to ensure that there's more eyes looking at some of these reports. I mean, there was no indication that there's anything going on wrong, but it's just the idea is to have different sets of eyes doing this work. So that would be the second one. And I believe the plans have already been submitted by the offices as to how they intend to segregate their duties and shuffle. So that would be another one we need to sign off on related to our audit.
So I'll make a motion for the chair to sign.
Okay, Bob?
I'll second.
Troy, second. Any other questions about these letters, reports from the auditors? Okay. We'll go ahead and take roll.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll get those sent off and get that taken care of for another year. And like I said, the team does have a good plan in place how to get this separation of duties a little more effective. And let's see, that's item D. We're now on item E, approve the chair to sign the Mid-American Health and Dental Insurance Benefits Plan document, which was effective March 1, 2021. With the switch in carriers and what have you, it's just taken quite a while to get all the documents with the right names and right.
Right. We had a document in place. It was just the old one with amendments. So now they finally cleaned it all up. It looks very nice. I did read it.
Less confusing with all referred to amendment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little lengthy, but
all the right names are filled in.
Yes.
Okay.
I did have them change the phone number. They had them calling 2126, which is the, if you call it, you get routed around and you have to choose which department. So I just had them call my phone.
So when we meet to talk about this, that committee will be involved and we can maybe review this document together again?
Sure.
Okay. It might be yeah, good for all of us to refresh ourselves on some of the terms and conditions. Yeah. Good idea.
Yep.
All right. I'll make a motion then to get the new document with all the corrections in it.
I'll second.
Signed. Okay. Janet, Bob. And then, of course, we'll get the committee to look at it before we renew it again in March. And Bob, any other questions, comments about the insurance documentation? Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. All right. Well, at this point, we are down to commissioner committee reports. I went to the Region 4 meeting last week. And it did sound like the other counties were, for the most part, planning to sign the agreement for the opioid settlement to get their share. Some of them were leaning towards giving it to, they had very small amounts, and leaning towards just giving it to the Region 4. But other ones were asking if they could apply it towards their annual bill, which wasn't an option. I think that kind of, you know, changed their mind a little bit. And then that was probably the big discussion at that meeting a week or so ago. And this week I'm going to the, there's a tri-state meeting at WIT, and they're talking about, they were talking about housing, the Simcoe. A 3D, they're going to talk about 3D building houses with 3D machinery or something. So that'll be really interesting to see how they're going to do that. Very, supposed to be very cost-effective. $30,000 to $40,000, and you could do it in one day, but it's just the frame, you know, the outside stuff, not the... So that'll be interesting. I'll let you know about that next.
Sounds like a big Coleman tent to me.
It's like a machine that piles cement on top of cement and does all the framing.
Oh, really?
The whole thing. It prints a house, the frame of a house.
Kind of like an igloo.
It's kind of like a stucco. Like a stucco, yeah. Kind of like an igloo, maybe. Yeah. That's my reports.
I had a Northstar meeting last week in Wayne, and that was just, we just got to have a quick meeting, just kind of do a few things before the end of the year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Northstar, they do special services?
Northstar and Region 4.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Anybody else have any meetings?
Well, I went to a central meeting there a few weeks ago, but it was about the same as before. We're still waiting on bridge box culverts.
Oh, yeah.
And they won't get them done this year. They're not next year now because the backlog's bad. So, it's just the way it is, you know.
Because that was one of the uses for ARPA funds, correct?
Yeah, well, I think so.
Could be.
The ARPA meeting is?
Thursday, 5:30.
Thursday?
Here in the boardroom.
Do you need all of the requests in by then, or are you gonna, is it more of an organizational meeting?
No, we don't. We'll take a look at what we have before that, and mm-hmm. we'll kind of come up with some direction on,
okay.
on maybe trying to talk to different folks about, because I don't know, how many applications, Joan, do you think you have?
I haven't seen them.
No.
Shree hasn't. I know you have until 2024, though.
Right.
Yeah.
So...
Because I've heard some people mention things, but I don't know if they've really submitted anything.
Yeah, we just had another one dropped off.
Okay, so. I'm glad people are submitting their requests with their documentation. Okay.
So.
Palmer Legion, fire departments.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That's what
so hopefully we'll get some good applications and spend that money wisely.
Yeah, I mean, there's it's not like we have to spend it by the end of the year, but at least we can start the process. That's
right.
Great. Wonderful.
Right.
Wonderful. Make a difference in for our communities. Perfect. So that's on Thursday at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else going? Okay. Any mail or emergency business? Nope, none of that. Any other comments from anybody? All right, well, that's it for our agenda today. We will adjourn. I want to write this down, guys. Earliest ever, 3:41. That makes up for the 6 o'clock, okay?